Movie Mike McGranahan is with us, professional movie critic, author, and women in cinema advocate. We invite you to do what I do, as that's anytime you're going to watch a TV at home or a movie at home, go to aisleseat.com. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
You bring us a review of a movie called The Hustle.
All the best moments from The Hustle are in the trailer, but the trailer isn't funny, so you can imagine what a dead zone the rest of the movie is. Anne Hathaway plays an elegant, high-class con artist, and Rebel Wilson is a low-rent grifter. The two make a bet as to which one can first bilk a tech millionaire vacationing in the south of France. As you may know, this is a gender-flipped remake of the 1988 Steve Martin-Michael Caine comedy Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. The movie replicates a couple of the most famous moments from that film, but what it comes up with is just a pale imitation with none of the comedic inspiration. Even if you've never seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, The Hustle just doesn't cut it. For a movie about con artists to succeed, it's vital for the scam to be set up thoroughly. We need to understand what the grifters are trying to accomplish. We also need to see the victim get sucked into it so that the stakes seem real. The Hustle has an annoying tendency to rush through those crucial elements, effectively making the cons far less engrossing than they should be. What's ironic here is that Hathaway and Wilson have decent chemistry together. I'd love to see them team up in a much better movie. But they're in this one, which didn't give me a single good laugh. The Hustle definitely seems like a con, because you'll feel ripped off after it's over. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5, Rupert the Monkey Boys.
Rupert the Monkey, in
one of the most famous scenes, or probably the most famous scene from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, has Michael Caine trying to con this woman by wooing her, this rich woman. But then Steve Martin is playing this character called Rupert the Monkey Boy, whose purpose is to try to scare her away. So, kind of a famous scene from that movie, which they try to replicate here, and they do very, very poorly.
Okay, well, yeah, I saw the trailer, and I thought, well, geez, this just doesn't have anything. But really, they shine as separate actors, sort of a bad product, but they just look super separately, and you pointed out, together.
Yeah, they're very good together, and I like both of these actresses. They do have chemistry together. They seem like they're trying to have fun. The problem is just the material is not good at all. And Dirty Rotten Scoundrels has become, over time, a modern comedy classic. So it's kind of hard to top what Steve Martin and Michael Caine did there. And this movie tries to imitate it, but it just doesn't have the same spark to it.
Right, but they both bring talent to it, so that much is good.
That's where the half star came from, just because they're good together, even if the material lets them down.
But the film is a one, and they boosted a half just by doing a super job.
Right.
Well, we haven't seen too much stellar performance from Anne in anything lately.
Both of these actresses, unfortunately, are having a very bad year, even though they're incredibly talented. Anne Hathaway had a movie a couple months ago called Serenity with Matthew McConaughey, which did not do well at the box office at all and got terrible reviews. Now she's got this. Rebel Wilson had a comedy about 2 months ago called Isn't It Romantic, which was terrible and only did middling business, and now she's in this. So unfortunately, despite having great talent, both of these women are having kind of a rough year. So I'm hoping that each of them will get some better roles here in the very near future. They're great.
Yeah, what's Wilson's best work? I mean, I can think of some pretty funny movies she's in.
I think everybody kind of associates her with the Pitch Perfect movies, which were a great showcase for her comedy. She's just very funny in them and has great chemistry with the other actresses in them. So I think that's really her at her peak.
And Anne Hathaway's best?
Anne Hathaway, to me, is one of the best actresses around these days. I mean, Brokeback Mountain, certainly a movie. She got an Oscar nomination for that. She won for Les Miserables. Which that scene where she sings the song, I'm blanking on the name of the song right now, but her big show-stopping moment was brilliant. So I think that those are some of her better films. But she's one of those people who can do anything. She can do drama. She can do comedy, which she proved a couple years ago in Devil Wears Prada. She was very funny in that. She was very funny in the Ocean's 8 movie. I believe that was last summer. So she can do anything. She can do any genre. So she's really very talented, but occasionally, like most actors, if you make enough movies, you're occasionally going to get stuck in a turkey, and that seems to be what's happened to both of them here.
What's the movie where Anne Hathaway plays an individual who has, I think, MS, and it's advancing on her? She has the disease, and
Love and Other Drugs.
Thank you. Yes, well
Jake
done.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, good for you. This is the best part of not the review, just asking Mike questions he's not necessarily expecting and enjoying this amazing recall of, you know, I've seen all the films you talk about. I just don't remember any of them, and you remember all of them, and that's just fabulous. So good for you. All right, so new movies to add to our memory banks. What is coming out this weekend?
We have three new movies opening this weekend, starting off with John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. Super assassin John Wick, again played by Keanu Reeves, is on the run after killing a member of the International Assassins Guild, and with a $14 million price tag on his head, he's the target of hitmen and women everywhere. Halle Berry, a new addition to this series. She's coming in to play a new character for this third installment. If that's not your thing, we've got A Dog's Journey, in which a dog finds the meaning of his own existence through the lives of the humans he meets. This is a sequel to a film called A Dog's Purpose that came out a couple years ago and was kind of a sleeper hit. And if that isn't your thing and you want a little romance, then maybe you'd want to check out The Sun Is Also a Star, in which a teenager finds love just as she and her family are facing deportation. So kind of a timely aspect to that film.
Okay, so which of those will you see today?
I am definitely checking out John Wick Chapter 3 first. After the way they ended the second one, I'm so excited to see where they take this.
Right, they ended the second one with hits out for him and everybody was trying to kill him. His house was gone, and then what?
Yeah, it kind of ended with that scene. I believe it's Central Park that ended in, and he's there, and there's all these people waiting to kill him, and they say, oh, you've got like a five-minute head start or whatever, and he just bolts away, and that was the end of the movie. So I can't wait to see where they pick that up.
Okay. You like the John Wick films?
I was sort of iffy on the first one. It was okay. The second one I thought was a little bit better. And I'm hoping that this third one will be better still. I don't love them the way some people do, but I've enjoyed them more or less.
Okay, yeah, it's ultra violence, I guess, as we learned from Stanley Kubrick 50 years ago or so. All right, so those are the new movies that are out there. So we'll look for your review in the next 48 hours or so.
Yeah, my John Wick review will be up tonight or tomorrow morning.
All right, so we'll look for that. Thank you, aisleseat.com. Tim Conway is going. Boy, he's a classic.
Oh, yeah.
I always knew about him on Carol Burnett, but I didn't realize how many times I'd seen him when after he died, the excerpts would pop up. He's been on everything.
Yeah, Tim Conway died at the age of 85 from normal pressure hydrocephalus, which I believe is water on the brain. And, of course, he's most famous for appearing on The Carol Burnett Show, but he was in dozens of movies. He used to be on McHale's Navy and has just done a little bit of everything, cameos. But what's so interesting about Tim Conway is that, yeah, people like me, I was a child in the 1970s, so The Carol Burnett Show was always on. I knew him from that. But my son, my older son, who's 10, knows Tim Conway because he did the voice of Barnacle Boy on the SpongeBob SquarePants series. So Tim Conway has had one of those careers where, you know, if you're 50 or 10, you knew who he was. And he was just an amazing comic talent because what he had that so few other comedians have was patience. He was willing to hold a physical comedy joke. In fact, if you go and you look at the clip, there's a old Carol Burnett Show sketch in which Harvey Korman is playing a patient at the dentist and Tim Conway is the dentist. And Tim Conway keeps accidentally injecting himself with the Novocaine and his arm falls asleep and his leg falls asleep.
But he tries to keep working.
Right, tries to keep working. And, you know, a lot of comedians would have rushed through that to get the laugh, and he played it slower. You know, he knew it was funnier if you got to really savor the concept of what was happening. And I think that was his particular genius as a comedian. He had patience to let the joke play out.
All right. Well, boy, well said. I'll tell you what. Yeah, it was a real refresher to see all the different things. And he was still working, helping out, making cameos. He was on Sesame Street and a wide range of other shows over the years. So Tim Conway gone at the age of 85. So we might get to see Jim and Tammy Baker portrayed.
Yes, some interesting casting news this week. They're going to make a movie called Eyes of Tammy Faye, which will be about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. They, of course, were the hosts of the PTL Club, who got embroiled in a massive scandal after Jim was convicted and imprisoned for fraud and conspiracy. But it's the casting of this that really makes me excited. Jessica Chastain is going to be playing Tammy Faye Baker, and Andrew Garfield is going to be playing Jim Baker. And they're both super talented actors, and they seem like just the perfect fit for these roles. I cannot wait to see what they do with it.
When we see Jessica Chastain in like Hollywood functions, she wears a ton of eye makeup. So it's that's the first thing I thought of when you said that. I can't think who he is, Andrew Garfield. I'm having trouble placing him.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield, probably most well known to the most number of people for starring as Peter Parker in the two Amazing Spider-Man movies. He's been in a lot of other things, but that's kind of the role that the most people know him for.
All right, so I'm just not making the right connection, but I have seen him.
Right, and he was also in The Social Network. He played Eduardo in that film, the guy who was Mark Zuckerberg's partner.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably the other one people most know him for.
Sure. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense then. Okay, Jim and Tammy Baker are going to come to the big screen. It looks like that's starting to fall together. We'll have to wait to see for sure, so that's a couple of years out, but should be interesting.
Yeah.
Movie Mike McGranahan, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie. His appearances, always sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.